This is a special night tonight, and we're so appreciative of the Lord and so grateful that we get to be a part of it. And it's a wonderful blessing of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to be able to ordain somebody and then commission them into the gospel ministry. And as we, this afternoon, we met earlier, and several ordained ministers of the Word of God, and then some deacons looked in, and we had a wonderful time there as we had an ordination council with Brother Stephen Carrier, and were able just to question him, have him give his testimony of salvation, testimony of the ministry that God has called him into, and then examine his doctrinal positions that line up exactly with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I told him in that meeting that when you examine somebody, you're not looking to find things that really are different than what you believe. You are actually in an ordination. You are literally, in just a little while, laying hands on, but then symbolically putting hands on a person to confirm that you've observed that the Lord has already done something in someone's life. You can't conjure that up. You can't create that. We as a church can't send anybody. We can't call anybody. But the Lord has certainly done that. And so one of the joys of getting to meet today was to get to spend some more time fellowshipping with Brother Scotty Carrier Sr. And this is, of course, Stephen's grandpa and Brother Scotty's dad. And so he's been in mission work. He'll share some of that. Been in mission work for some 30 years, pastoral work for 14 years, and just a great servant of the Lord. And so typically in an ordination service, we have a charge to the candidate and then a charge to the church. And that charge to the candidate will be delivered tonight by the candidate's granddad. And so, Brother Carrier, why don't you come on up and bring your Bible with you. He's going to preach to Stephen, but the rest of us can listen in. How's that? And if it gets too rough on him, we'll go out, get something to eat, and come right back. When he's done, we'll probably still have time. So you go ahead and preach to us. Thank you,
preacher. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Actually, my text is 1 through 8. But I'm going to use springboard with verses 1 and 2. I am needing these things, so let me get them on. Been playing with this. I'm trying to get it to look just like the preacher's. He's so good, I figured, now if I can get this down, then hey. But it's an honor to be here tonight, and I thank Stephen for asking me and the pastor for allowing me. Love Buffalo Ridge. Of course, it's my church and a great church, and God has greatly used you. And I appreciate that. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. And I'll be reading verse 1 and 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight it's such a privilege just to be in your house, to know that you've called another young couple into full-time service, and Lord, with great expectations of the thousands that can be one to Christ, and we expect to be. God, you've used this church greatly and mightily to spread the gospel around the world. Continue to do so. Use myself tonight, Lord, and God, I just pray that may everything that's said and done in this service, may it bring total glory and honor to you. May you be lifted up and exalted. And may Stephen and Leslie leave here with a charge and a promise and a dedication and a purpose that will, their whole lives will be pleasing to thee. Bless us now, I pray, and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul was in prison here. He knew that his time was close to an end. He had a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, and Timothy was in the ministry, and he's delivering a charge to Timothy. Notice what he says here in verse 1, Stephen. The first thing I want you to see is the position of Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Charge is not a suggestion. Charge is not an option. Charge was a command. Stephen, every word you say and every time you preach, all your actions, I want you to understand you're going to be in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Stephen, it's not about you. You wasn't chosen because you are elite, because you are better than everybody else. In God's sovereign will, he chose to call you to a high calling and to a noble service. An ambassador of the United States of America, he's to represent his country. He's to represent it to the best that he can, to the best interest of his company, and always to lift up his company, or his United States in this case. I want you to understand, Stephen, that's exactly what you're to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're his representative. You're to talk well of him, perform your best, do what's in the best interest of Jesus Christ, and he's always to be exalted and lifted up and glorified in your life, in your actions, in your example, and in every word you teach and that you preach. So I want you to see, you have a position. It's a position of a high calling. But there's a second thing I want you to see here, and that's the preaching of Timothy. Notice in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach means to proclaim as a herald. In those days, they had an imperial herald. And he would stand at attention in a public place. And he would speak in the name of the emperor. And he'd make a proclamation as loud as he could make it. And all the people were to hear that proclamation, and they were to obey it immediately. Stephen, you don't preach your opinion. You don't preach to exalt yourself. You don't preach to enrich yourself. You don't preach to elevate yourself. Your preaching is to honor and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ always and at all times. Notice he said reprove. Reprove has to do with the mind. Reprove is to correct misbehavior. Reprove is to correct false doctrine. You're to help others to understand what they're doing wrong, and you're to take the word of God and to show them how to do right. Rebuke has to do with the heart. Stephen, every time you stand in the pulpit, you make sure you're prayed up. You make sure that you're right with God. You make sure, or you feel the presence of God and the power of God and the hand of God upon you, because you're to preach with his power. You're to preach a sermon that has conviction. You're preaching for the purpose of people being convicted by the Holy Spirit, confessing their sins, repenting of their sins, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and for Christians that are backslidden to be restored into proper fellowship with God. Amen. And that's what rebuke and reprove is talking about. Reprove the mind, rebuke the heart. And I think of Jesus when he told Peter, when Peter got, I said big head, that's pigeon. What's big head, mama? Pride. Thank you. Mama's my wife. Pride. I'm thinking pigeon. He got puffed up with pride, and what did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Lost my place now talking to mama. Anyway, let me go on. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Warn them of judgment to come. Never lower the standards, but preach to lift up the standards. Preach to sanctify lives, that people will clean their lives and be better Christians and live better for Christ. Preach the whole counsel of God, and always preach it without any fear and without expecting to get anything out of it. I'm talking about rewards as far as material things and things of this nature. Favor is the word I'm trying to think of. So you're to reprove, you're to rebuke, but you're to exhort. Exhort's encourage. Let me tell you, Stephen, people need loving. People need encouraging. People are hurting. People are down and out. Give your life to people and preach to them with love. Encourage them. Show the mercy. Show the grace of God to them. And I've written down here, I'll just put it this way, restore the ones that have fallen. Do not preach to destroy them. Do not grind them under your foot. God says restore such a ones. Your purpose is to reach down and lift them up. Amen. And try to bring them back into the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and into the will of God, where they're living with God and fellowshipping with God again. And always remember that, because sometimes people are going to drive you crazy. But remember this, you do all that with long suffering. You know what long suffering is? That's love and patience combined. I want you to think, sometimes you think, what's the use? I can think of a lady I poured my life into and poured my life into and poured my life into. Turned out to be a great, great Christian, our best friend there in the church. But my lands, you know what? You think, this is hopeless. Nothing will ever come of this. Let me tell you, Christ said all things. He said he's all powerful. And I want you to think, nothing is impossible with God. Those lives that you think are so hopeless and nothing could ever be done with them, then the hand of God. You know what? It's not us, Stephen. It's God. It's God using us, and it's God working through us, and it's us allowing God to do that and us being everything that God wants us to be. But I want you to know, as you reprove and rebuke, as you preach to him, as you're long-suffering with him, never, 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 ever compromise the Word of God. I want you to say a third thing. You got an exalted position. You're to preach the total counsel of God, all the whole counsel of God, I should say. And then notice the persistence of Timothy in verse 2. He said, in season and out of season. In verse 3 and 4, he goes on. He's talking about how the people are going to get itching ears and how they're going to close their ears and how they're not going to want to listen anymore. I want you to understand, there's no closed seasons for preacher. And when you're in season, it's great. 30 years in New Guinea, 14 years as pastor. Sometimes I'm going to promise you, you stand up and you're thinking, what in the world am I doing here? What have I gotten myself into? I've gotten myself in situations, hey, it took the Lord to get me out. But I want you to realize this. Do you realize Paul was out of season everywhere he went? In this context, there was a crowd of Jews that always followed him no matter where he went, that stirred up the crowds where Paul was stoned and beaten and day and night in the deep and perils of hunger and thirst, and he was thrown in prison. He's writing Timothy out of prison here. But I want you to understand what Paul did. He never quit. He never gave up. He continued to preach. He continued to witness everywhere he went. And we study and we know that some of Caesar's household got saved and some of the guards that were looking after Paul got saved. And I'm going to tell you the key, Stephen. Because there are going to be times you're hurting, and there's going to be times you feel unappreciated. There's going to be times that it's just tough, but the key is Philippians 4:11. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therein to be content. Stephen, you just continue on. You always just continue to be faithful to Christ. Continue to be true to His Word. It's not based upon your feelings. It's not based upon your circumstance. It's not based upon what's going on, whether they love you or they don't love you. Remember this one thing. You're a servant of God. You're called of Him. He chose you and put you in an exalted position. He gave you a charge. He gave you a command. Fulfill the ministry that God has called you to. Mine was New Guinea, yours is Chile. But let's go on. And think of this before I leave that point. Don't get your eyes upon results. God gives the increase. Just remember this, God is always working when you don't see Him working. And God is doing things that you'll see results later on that you never even realize was going on behind the scenes, because it's God doing the working. But the last thing I want you to see is the promise of Timothy. You got an exalted position. You're to preach the whole counsel of God. You're to be persistent. But in verse 4 is the promise, verse 5 rather. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Watch thou. Stephen, watch yourself in every area of your life. In your actions, in your words, in your deeds, in your purposes, set an example. that the people can follow. Follow Christ and set the example that people can follow you. And remember the word of God, abstain from all appearances of evil. Always, throughout all your ministry and all of your life. He said, endure affliction. You know what afflictions are? That's them hardships that I'm talking about. That's those trials and that's those tribulations and that's troubles that's going to come from you know not where. And I'm going to tell you, some of your greatest heartache may be your preacher boys. One may become an enemy. One did in my case. May come from church members. You say, oh, Brother Carey, church member. Yes, that can even happen. But let me tell you that. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Stand, Stephen. Never let any affliction that you face lessen your faith, cause you to fall by the wayside, cause you to become a castaway that Paul talked about because of discouragement. I'm going to tell you what's going to get you through the ministry and what's going to keep you true to the end. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just stay in His Word, as Pastor Lashley told you today. Oh, you're going to have afflictions. You're going to have heartaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Stephen, I promise you this, it will be worth it all. And I truly believe that. But let's go on. Do the work of an evangelist. That's proclaim the good news. Everywhere you go, witness. Tell others about Jesus. But the last part there says, make full proof of thy ministry. Stephen, one day, your life's going to come to an end. Either the rapture's going to take place and your ministry's going to end, or you're going to pass over. But it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, to judgment. In our case, we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. We're going to have to give an account. You know, tonight, you've made a promise to God. This church is making a promise to God. They're going to stand behind you and send you all out and try to meet every need that you have in a way that God leads them to. They're a great church, and they will. But I want to tell you, not only are they making a promise, but you're making a promise. And you know what? It's up to you to keep that promise. You can renege. You can go back. You can quit. You can say, I don't want to. Remember this, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. You'll never get ahead with God by turning your back on God. God don't expect you to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But He expects you to be faithful. Be faithful in all that you do. And remember this, He'll never leave you. He'll never fail you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul knew. You made that commitment. I made that commitment. Pastor Herdman's made that commitment. Listen, God is able. He'll never let us down. We may let Him down, but He'll never let us down. But listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was worried about being a castaway, but lest he said, I bring myself into subjection. Stephen, if you bring yourself into subjection, all your life, all of your ministry unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and do this, remember, your position is one that's exalted of a high calling that comes from God Almighty. You're a chosen one of God. Remember to preach with a feeling of responsibility. You're going to give an account for every word and every action that you do, every counsel that you give. And remember, blood can be required at your hands if you don't do right. Be persistent. In your persistence, be dependable. Don't let God down. Don't let the people down. There's people in Chile that only you can reach. And if you fail to reach them, they'll go to hell. They're yours. Don't let those people down. Don't let God down. Be dependable. And the last thing is be accountable in your promise. Go back up to verse 6 and 7 and 8. If you do these four things, stay true to God, you can say as Paul said, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them also that love his appearing. Stephen, you can say that if you stay true to God, stay faithful, fulfill the duty that God has called you to. Hey, the failure will always be on our part, but never on his. Remember that. I love you dearly. I'm proud of you, and God bless you. Pastor.
What a joy to hear the words of grandpa to a grandson. One of the men that are not going in, but we're ordaining tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity just to get to listen in on that, and thank the Lord for you, Brother Carrier, and I was thinking while he was talking about those glasses that he needed. I'm not that stage where I need glasses, but while I was preparing for something this past week, I am, like one person said, I'm not the stage of glasses, but I am at the stage where I take pictures up with my phone and blow it up on there if I'm really looking at something. So I want to hold off as long as I can. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Brother Dan, why don't you come lead us in a song, and we'll let you remain seated. We have just up and down a good bit, but let's sing together. Hymn number 507, I Gave My Life for Thee.
I gave my life for thee. Forget that wonderful day when Jesus saved my soul. I knelt down at an old-fashioned altar. Oh, how the glory did roll. I went to him on bended knee and left there with a shout. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out.
He called me out.
He called me out. I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name, and I answered, Lord.
Fill my cup.
He filled my cup with that everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out. They tell me the moment I received Christ, the angels marched around. With lifted wings they sang love's story, a sinner now has been found. My name was written in the book and it shall never fade. I'll never forget that wonderful day, the day that I was saved.
He called me out.
He called me out, and I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name, and I answered, Lord.
He filled my cup.
He filled my cup with that everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out.
He called me out.
He called me out. Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name, and I answered, Lord.
He filled my cup.
He filled my cup with that everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day. I'll never forget that wonderful day. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus, He brought me out.
Amen. Thank you, men. Praise the Lord for that singing. And just a wonderful, wonderful song. And I want to preach to you for just a little while. I shan't be long, but Brother Carrier preached a charge to the candidate. And if you've never been involved in an ordination service, it's a blessing to get to be involved with it. And I'd like to preach for just a little while to us as a church what our responsibilities are to the candidate. And so I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. The points that I'll give, they're not original with me. My good friend, Brother Roger Green, gave these in an ordination service I was conducting, and he too preached them to the church, just like I'm doing to you. But they're so true. I was talking with Marty earlier that there's many churches that have been in existence for many, many decades, but have yet to send their first person out into the ministry. Oh, they probably support several missionaries, maybe many missionaries, from somebody else's church, but they've yet to be able to ordain somebody and send them out and commission them. And I say that not to get proud, because you know that we can do that really quick. But I say that to humble us and just to say how great, how blessed we are of the Lord to be able to have this opportunity. This is not by thanks of you. This is not by thanks even of Preacher Lastly and Brother Jody, and certainly not me. And it's not thanks of any of those things. It's just the goodness of the Lord. And may we always remember that all the good stuff that you get to enjoy is from the Lord, every good and every perfect gift. Please don't be so arrogant to think that that family that you've got, boy, you really put some good principles to work in their lives, and your kids grow up now and they're going to turn around and call you blessed. Listen, it's just the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of this word and His wonderful, gracious favor towards you. Please don't think because some other church runs less than we do that, wow, we must be doing something right. Well, as much as we've been given, we might be should be running three times as many as we are. Please don't ever think that, well, boy, I must have done a lot of good things in my life. I must be making some great business decisions because look at how much my business is thriving. Would you please at that point just say, praise be to God. Amen. And when we come to this point tonight, when we get the opportunity to commission somebody and ordain them into the gospel ministry, may we not say, boy, look at how good our church is, but may we instead say, look at how gracious our Savior is. Look at how good He is. And allow us to be a part of it all. Allow Stephen to go down into Chile and allow him to now be raising all this money on deputation, and he and Leslie be sent out, and they'll be around for a little while after now until they can get the flights and all that, and they'll get gone. But it's just a joy to be able to have a part of this. And let me take these next 10 minutes and give you five things that I'd like for you to write down. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." That word conversation means their life. That's verse 7 in Hebrews 13. I want you to look at Hebrews 13, verse number 17 as well. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Stephen preached to our Spanish church this morning, and they meet over in the chapel. Most of you know that. They start around 11, I suppose, when Brother Dan's, you're done with that Victory Bible class, and they have a meeting after that. And Brother Stephen preached and took the Word of God, was able to instruct people. He gave testimony this morning in the Young Singles, I believe, and has been now over in our ordination council, taking the Word of God and expressing his beliefs that are from God's Word. And I think about that as you look at verse number 7 again. It says, "Who have spoken unto you the Word of God." That's the only book that he's got to go on. He's got lots of books that can give commentary and give helps, but that's what you have to go on as a preacher. And so now I want us to have our part as a church. Can I just, if you want to, write these five things down? Number one, respect the calling of God in his life. This is good medicine for his family. This is good medicine for Judy had to reserve an extra pew or two for tonight, and we had to watch out for Judy, I guess. And this is good medicine for her family, your family, and the rest of us. Number one, respect the calling of God in his life. Look at what it says in the middle of verse number 7. "They have spoken unto you the word of God." Doesn't make anybody any better, but it does make somebody have a high calling. I certainly am not any better because I happen to be the pastor and you're not the pastor, but the position that I hold is very important. Preacher Lassley didn't make it important. He just was an important position, an important person because of the position he held. But it doesn't matter. We in that ordination council, Preacher Lassley, I think over 60 years in the ministry. Brother Scotty Carrier, 30 years as a missionary and 14 years as a pastor. And Brother Dan Rogers has been on the mission field, now has preached in multiple countries and has filled so many different roles. He was on that. And Brother Daniel has came out of college and preached here about all for different areas of ministry. But whether you've been in the ministry for over 60 years or been at it for multiple decades, still the same God called a young man named Stephen into the gospel ministry. And I already told you the preacher Lassley is not the one that's special because of who he is personally. He's special and revered here at our church because of the God that he served for all these years. And the same God has called a young couple into the ministry. And so I tell you to respect the calling of God on his life. Number two, encourage his family. The Bible says there in the end of verse number 7, considering the end of their conversation or the goal of their life, and his is to raise his family, or take his family rather, and see other people saved and see them blessed. And so could I give you this, that you ought to encourage his family, his dear wife Leslie, and when God brings them to your mind, you ought to pray for them. Best thing you can do for somebody is pray for them. I think the second best thing you can do for them is let them know you're praying for them. That means through their emails and through contact, and when they get settled in, and we'll have it all available to you, that you can become communication partners with them, encourage his family. Not only should you do those two things, but look in verse number 17. You ought to pray for his leadership. Pray for him as he goes and he tries to lead ministries and tries to get involved in things and then start churches and do all that God will open up to him. And I don't know all of it, and he certainly probably doesn't know all yet either. But I tell you to pray for his leadership. Verse number 17, look, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." And here's why we ought to pray for his leadership: as they that must give an account. He'll give an account for the time that he served the Lord. down there. Give an account for what he's done for Christ. And so our responsibility now as we launch him out, it's not just that we leave him on his own. We have a responsibility to pray for him that he might give an account and give it with joy as he's seen people saved and discipled and learn the words of Word of God. We're to pray one for another. Certainly we are. But the best way that you can pray for him is to pray that God would use him. Pray for his inevitable disappointments. Pray for him when he's depressed. Pray for his sweet wife when she's got to give go away from all that she's known. And pray that they will be an encouragement one to another. Pray for his leadership. And number four, not only should we respect the calling of God on his life, encourage his family, and pray for his leadership, but number four, obey him. You say, obey him. I'm not, I don't need to do that. What I mean by that is when he preaches, and he'll come back and he'll preach to us. And I'm reminding you, when he preaches here, he's not that teen that acted disinterested in your class. Scotty, did you have him in your Sunday school class? You did. His own dad had him in Sunday school. He's not that teen that you had to get on to because he was doing this, that, or the other. He's that, yes. He's not just somebody you saw grow up. He's not somebody that you've watched. When he stands behind the pulpit, because he preaches, as long as he preaches from the Word of God, then he's somebody you need to take an ear to and listen. And as the Scripture says, obey. Obey them that which have the rule over you. And so he's proclaiming God's Word. And so when he has opportunity to come back on furlough and preach to us, I challenge you to come with your Bible ready to be spoken to by the Word of the Lord and be moved by the Holy Spirit of God, because it's not the man behind the pulpit, it's the Bible and the Spirit of God that's working while the man's speaking. So obey them. And then number five, the last, is just this: remember him. It can't be an out of sight, out of mind thing for our church. We ought to pray for all of our missionaries. We sure better pray for the ones that are from us. Amen. That his mom and dad are here in the pew, his family and grandma and grandpa, all those people are here. We certainly need to pray for them. What's the Scripture says in verse number 7? The first word, remember. That word remember means this: be mindful or rehearse. Same thing you'd think of, remember. Rehearse, go over and over again. If you're going to the grocery store and your wife said, pick up these three things, how do you do that? Okay, bread, milk, don't forget that. And then you come back home and say, how did you miss one out of three? I was doing some work around the house yesterday, and Amy had these mums that she had brought over from, somebody had brought over from Murfreesboro on their way over, and I slipped out of my, sometimes I speak wife, but not always. I forgot my Brother Carrier has the advantage of knowing another language. Whenever he says something wrong, he's able to say, oh, that's just my bilingual coming out on me. But when I say something wrong, I have no excuse. And so I forgot. I didn't speak wife for there for a while. She said, hey, what do you think about putting those mums, planting those? So right now they're just in plants. And she said, what do you think about planting those back in one of the flower beds? And I immediately spoke my mind. And said, I don't think there's any need to do that. Now, when a wife says, what do you think about this? What she really means is, this is what I want done. I know you didn't think come for marriage counseling, but you men, listen up. What she really means is, that's what I want you to do. If she'd have wanted your opinion, she'd have given that to you, but she doesn't. So I quickly got back into my dual language and said, oh, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea if we planted those mums so they come back next year. So you come to our house. You know how many of those are planted? All of them. They may die, but we'll protect them like a shrine we'll build to them. But we're going to protect them. I don't know how I got off on all that, except to say we ought to remember this young man, because the way to remember him is, the Bible says, to remember them. And that literally means be mindful of them or rehearse. The way that you remember your spouse, the way you remember some family member, is just be thinking about them all the time. and the way that we can remember somebody like Stephen that's going into the ministry where we're not able to go. I remind you of what I do about all of our missionaries, but especially this one. They are going where we aren't going. Either we have to go to Chile or send somebody else. And we've opted to send somebody else. Now, I hope that we would all be faithful to the Lord if He called us that we would go. But He has not as of yet. And so we ought to remember Him. Respect the calling of God on His life. Encourage His family. Considering the end of His conversation, considering the end of that, we ought to encourage His family. We ought to pray for His leadership. Pray that God gets him set up and able to lead people in a very quick way and make disciples. We ought to obey Him. When He comes up and preaches, "Thus saith the word," don't think about it. Somebody that I used to have in my Sunday school class way back when, I remember when he was a little kid. No, you look at that and say, if he's got the word of God in his hand, then there's something for me tonight now that he's coming. And then just plain old remember him. And I want our church to be behind him all the way. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now, and our prayer is. And folks, as we pray, would you do me a favor, and the ladies will come and play something through, but would you do a favor for me right there where you sit? We won't have you stand yet. We'll do that in a minute, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we're commissioning this couple into the gospel ministry, we're ordaining him to be a preacher of the Word of God? We didn't call him. We're just recognizing what God did, and we're symbolically laying our hands on him. And would you just pray with me, all of us together, that the Lord would use this couple? Father, I pray that you would put your hand. You already have. I pray you'd continue to keep your hand on this couple. Lord, he's preached so many sermons out and about on the road and done different things. I don't travel with him, of course, but I know what his life has been a little bit. I praise you, dear Lord, for keeping them safe for all these miles. I praise you, dear Lord, for what you've done. But we as a group, and folks, join me, would you, in prayer? Dear Lord, right now, we pray for Stephen and Leslie Carrier, that you would not withhold any one of your blessings from them. Lord, that you would keep your mighty hand of blessing and power upon their lives. I pray, dear Lord, that you would let them build relationships when they get down there. I pray, dear Lord, that he would gain leadership in people on a very quick basis. I pray, dear Lord, you'd let him make inroads with the different folks that they need to minister to. I pray that you'd let him lead many, many people to Christ. And Lord, I pray already that you would give him favor in those people's eyes that get saved and let them disciple them and show them all that the Word of God has. Lord, protect them, lead them, guide them. We'll ask you for the precious souls of many, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for praying with me. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? Maybe there's something else on your heart. We never like to come to a service, but what we don't invite anybody that there's here to come to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you came in and you say, this is an odd service, Pastor. It's odd, but it's special. But maybe you're here tonight, and although that wasn't what we spoke about, there's something inside of you that's gnawing at you, and you know you need to get right with God. You know you need to be saved. Would you simply step out and come? Brother Daniel, one of the assistant pastors, is right in front of us, in front of my pulpit, I mean. Would you simply come? He'd take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. This morning, someone was born again up here, and somebody born again downstairs. Would you come tonight? As they continue to play, I'm going to ask the deacons of the church, if you're able to make your way down to the altar here. As they come, if God's still dealing with your heart, I don't want you to leave before you do what God leads you to do. thank you may look this way, and except for our deacons, everybody else can be seated. And it's a joy to get to see these deacons up here. Some of them had to come a really long way. They, for some reason, sit as far back as they possibly can. But I'll save that for another sermon, Bobby Brown. But it's a joy to get to see each of you. For don't laugh. Well, you were up there too, weren't you? Oh, gotcha. Is your wife in the nursery? Who's up in the balcony? Oh, she has to leave early. Okay, thank you. Thank you. he's got milk in the refrigerator. I understand. Well, it's a joy to get to see all these up here. And what we'd like to do is this. We don't have time, and I want to let you know what we'll do. We'll start by laying physical hands on the Brother Stephen, because that's what they did in the New Testament. They laid hands on him and sent him out in the gospel ministry. And so today, we met early this afternoon with an ordination council, and I've got this certificate that I'd like to read to us this evening. We, the undersigned, upon the recommendation of the request of the ordination council, which met at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts, and after satisfactory examination by us in regard to the Christian experience, the call to the ministry and views of the Bible doctrine, hereby certify that Stephen James Carrier will be set aside, solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained in the work of the gospel ministry. And what I like to do is, I like to just have a word of a time of prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Stephen to come here. We'll let Leslie sit right there. And men, like, just gather around him, if you don't mind, as good as we can get. And I'm going to have Brother Bobby take the microphone there, and you pray for us. And like for as many as you can to reach in there and get hands on him as the Bible indicated. And then I'm going to have him give that microphone to Steve Mullins when you get done. And then Daniel, when you get done, then Preacher Lass is going to conclude and pray a prayer blessing over Stephen. So we'll go for Bobby and then Steve, and then Daniel will get to Preacher Lass. So as they pray, you pray as well, would you please? And we'll just pray that we do it here at the altar, because we want to symbolically, we're putting him on the altar as well and saying, Lord, we want you to use him. So Bobby, would you pray?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us. And one of those things is that you have called one of ours out, a special ministry just for you. Lord, we're not sending out a perfect man. We're sending out a man to do your perfect will. Lord, I pray that you will bless him, bless Leslie. Put your hand on them, Lord. Guide them. Give them clarity in their ministry, Lord. Bless them and give them souls. Lord, we thank you for what they have done. We thank you for their testimony, and we thank you for everything that they have represented. And Lord, I pray that you will just be with them and care for them and put a hedge about them, that they will be successful in your work. In your name I ask it.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you and thank you for this opportunity to send this young man to the mission field. Lord, you've chosen him, and he's willing to go. Lord, there's so many details about missions, the preaching and teaching of God's word and souls being saved, and all the little details and the complications of visas and paperwork and then the people there, the needs. Lord, they need to be saved. Amen. And you give Stephen the words from your word to touch their hearts that they may be saved. God, we'll just praise your name for all that you're going to do through this young man. Lord, use him in a mighty, mighty way on the mission field. And it's our privilege to be part of that, here praying and supporting and all that you're going to do through Stephen and his wife. Lord, bless them in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank privilege this evening of laying our hands upon this fine young couple. Thank you, you've called Stephen and Leslie to go down into Chile, and Lord, to win people to Christ and establish New Testament churches. And Father, we thank you that I can remember the many days that they had, Stephen would come as a little boy and sit on pew three here with his grandmother and the others there. Lord, you've worked in his life, and we thank you, Lord, for putting your hand upon him. Thank you for giving him a fine wife. And now, Lord, I pray that as he makes plans to go down to Chile, that your hand would be upon him. And God, I pray that you'd help him to establish during his ministry down there a number of good churches. I know there'll be fundamental Bible-believing churches. And Lord, I pray that he be used of thee to win many to Christ. May people be in heaven because of his dear wife going down to Chile. And I pray that God, that you'd bless their every need and supply them, Lord. Use them mightily to build a great church or great churches for the glory of God. And Lord, we know your hand must be upon him or all is in vain. And Lord, I pray the blessed Holy Spirit would anoint Stephen and Leslie, God. May the hand of God be evidently upon them. May they see people born into the family of God through the preaching of the Word of God. We commit them to thee now. Go with them, protect them. May your hand be upon them. And may one day we rejoice over in heaven for these Chileans that's going to be saved because of his commitment to go to the mission field. Now, knowing he and his dear wife, with the blessed Holy Ghost, I pray. And may they have a ministry owned and blessed of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as the deacons find their way back to the seat, I want you to, Brother Stephen, if you'd look back, and I want you to, I'd like for us tonight, like I said, we want to engage. And I'm not asking that you'll be praying every day. That'd be a wonderful thing. But how many of you join me in prayer? Leslie, why don't you come up here with us? How many of you join me in prayer and say, we will be praying for the Carrier family? So God bless you. And as I read earlier, the undersigned ordination council at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray, Tennessee, had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts. And after satisfactory examination by us in regard to the Christian experience, call to ministry and views of the Bible doctrine, hereby certify that Stephen James Carrier was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained in the work of the gospel ministry by the authority and order of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, 197 Suncrest, on the 7th day of November, 2021, signed by the ordination council that's over here. And so I'd like to, as our church, to take a motion. We'd have to have a bit. We'd want to officially ordain them as our church, and I'd like for a motion from our church floor that we ordain Stephen Carrier into the gospel ministry. Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. Brother Stephen Gagin seconds that motion. All in favor, you say amen.
Amen.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And so, Stephen, we give this ordination certificate to you, and we get a picture here. And then we also got you a new King James Bible. It's genuine leather, and I trust it's a blessing to you. Well, and a little note in there from us. So God bless you, okay?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you so much.
All right. Thank God you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it's a wonderful joy for our church to get to do this. And we wanted to not end it here. It's almost 20 to 8. And but we do have over in the Family Life Center, we've got it set up for fellowship. Miss Phyllis and Miss Marsha and different folks have done a great job of getting us ready over there. And so we are going to dismiss from here. The ushers will have their offering baskets at the back for a regular Sunday night offering. We do want to take the opportunity of those. We make our way across the parking lot or down the hall, and you're able to stay for just a little while and fellowship. We have cupcakes and and sandwiches, and so there's places to sit over there, and then Brother Stephen and Leslie will be over that way, and maybe you can drop by and visit with them for just a little while and let them know personally that I'll be praying for you. So it's been a great place to be. Thank you for being in church tonight. If you're able to stay with us for a few more minutes and walk across, we'll certainly be joyed to have you there. God bless you. You're dismissed.